Today's shiur is Masechta Shavuos, Daf Lamed Gimel. We will begin on Daf Lamed Beis, Amud Beis. Four lines from the wide lines. Kafar Achad V'Hoyde Echad. The Mishnah taught us the following halacha. The Mishnah says in a situation of a Kafar Echad, where somebody denied the Shavuos Ha'edus, one of the witnesses denied, lying, that he knows any testimony, V'Hoyde Echad, and the other witness did admit that he owes, that he knows testimony, HaKoyf HaChayif. So the Mishnah says the witness who lied is going to be Chayif for Shavuos Ha'edus. Ask the Gemara, Hashta, in the Mishnah previously, what we discussed in the Mishnah and the Gemara yesterday, Hashta, B'zechazeh, in a situation that the Mishnah discussed, where the first witness denies, and then the second witness denies, the Tavayu Kukafri, they're both denying. So we learned in the previous year, Amrit Harishin Chayev Vasheni Potter. The Mishnah taught us, and the Gemara explained, that only the first witness would be held liable for Shavuos Ha'edus, and not the second witness. Reason being, as we said, is because once the first witness denies knowing any testimony, the second witness's position is immaterial, because he already is in a position where what he says doesn't count, because we're left only with one witness. So certainly, in a case that we're just discussing now, of Kafar Echad V'Hoyde Echad, where one witness denies, and the second witness isn't denying. He's admitting he knows testimony. But what do you want from me? The first witness already denied knowing any testimony, and we no longer have two Edus. Mibayu, is there any question that the second witness should not be held responsible? And therefore, ask the Gemara, what is the Mishnah teaching us? Answers the Gemara, like Tzricha, the Mishnah is referring to a situation, Kigan Shkafu Shneim, both of them denied knowing anything, and then, V'chaza Echem Evahoy B'tech K'day Dibur. After both of them denied, one of them admitted that he said something which wasn't true. V'akamashman, and now the Mishnah is teaching us that an admission, Toch Kedei Dibur, is Kedibur Dami, and it's considered as if he never denied it. Let's just review a piece of Gemara we learned yesterday. The previous Gemara spoke about a case where the two witnesses spoke at the exact same time. When we learned that Mishnah and the Gemara gave actually two ways of understanding the Mishnah. One was we were following the opinion of Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili throughout Shas teaches us Efshalom Tzamtzim, that two things could happen exactly at the same time. And that was the way Rav Chisda explained that the Mishnah is referring to a case where both witnesses said their piece at the same time, and that's why they're both chayiv. But then we had a different explanation. We had the explanation of Rabbi Yochanan, that the Mishnah was teaching us the halacha of Toch Kedei Dibur. The Mishnah was teaching us that even though the two witnesses didn't speak at the same time, as long as the second witness began his declaration within Toch Kedei Dibur of the first witness, that's considered as if they spoke at the same time. So now says the Gemara, Bishlam Rav Chisda, according to Rav Chisda's explanation of yet in the previous year, the Mukalei Lahuk Rav Yosef Glili, that he explained that the case that the Mishnah referred to, when both witnesses speak at the same time, was following the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Glili, we could understand the dinim that the Mishnah are trying to teach us. The Reish is coming to teach us the halacha of Efshel Tzamtzim, the Sefer Etzricha, and the Sefer that we just now came to speak about, is coming to teach us the Toch Kedei Dibur, Kedibur Dami. And as long as you retract your statement, Toch Kedei Dibur, your retraction is considered a valid retraction. Two very different halachas. However, asked the Gemara, El Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan's explanation of the Reisha, which the Reisha, as we just said, Rabbi Yochanan is here to teach us, the concept of Toch Kedei Dibur, El Rabbi Yochanan Reisha, which is coming to teach us the halacha of Toch Kedei Dibur, Seifer, and the Seifer is also coming to teach us that then, of Toch Kedei Dibur. So the question is, Tata Lamli, why do we need two times the Mishnah to teach us the same concept twice, that Tarka de Diva is Kadiva Dami. Tarti Lomali. What do we need the Mishnah to teach us this concept twice? Answers the Gemara. Madatei Mahani Mil Kfira Kfira. Av Kfir Vahido Emaloi. Kamash Malan. And this is the way the Ramban explains the Gemara. The Ramban explains the Gemara that although the way the Gemara is now explaining both of these cases of the Mishnah come to teach us the concept of Tarka de Diba Kadiba Dami, they're very different Tarka de Dibers. The first Tarka de Diba, what is the case? That if you make a declaration, and then I begin my declaration, Tarka de Diba of your declaration, it's considered as if we spoke at the same time. But we're both making similar declarations. We're making declarations that are exactly the same. You're saying that you don't know Adis, and I say I don't know Adis. The Tarka de Diba of today's shir was a whole different Tarka de Diba. The Tarka de Diba of our shir is that you can retract Tarka de Diba. It's a whole different concept. One has to do with changing your mind, and one is, do we view it as simultaneous declarations? And the fact that Tarka de Diba is applied in one situation has nothing to do with the other situation, and that's why the Mishnah has to teach it to us in both contexts. Before we go further, I just want to repeat, because there are really two very important halachas in Shavuos HaEdus, which will be the focus of all the shiurim that we're going to continue discussing about Shavuos HaEdus. The first halacha, which is the halacha that we're going to focus on more today, is that Shavuos HaEdus has to do with money. It has to be kfiras mammon. If somebody approaches you and it's not a kfiras mammon, even though you're lying, and I in fact want to point out that the Sefer Chinuch, a Rishon, says that not to say it's not an aver to lie. And therefore if somebody approaches you to say testimony about a non-monetary situation and you deny falsely, you did an aver. Just the pash of Shavuos HaEdus, which we're discussing, and the carbon oil of Yairid of Shavuos HaEdus would not apply then. That's one halacha. The other halacha, which is going to be less relevant to today's shir, is that it also has to be that the person who wants me to say testimony on his behalf has to approach me. If it's anyone else, it's not going to be considered a case of Shavuos HaEdus. So we learned in the Mishnah. Shayishtei kita edim. We have two pairs of edim. Kafar Rishon of Achakach Kafar Nashniyah. And the Mishnah said if the first group intentionally lied, and the second group then also does the same, so Mishnah says Shteim Chayovis. Says the Gemara, let's try to understand this case of the Mishnah. Bishla Mishnit Eschayiv, we can understand why the second group will be held responsible. The Kafala Rishonah, the first group has already denied knowing any testimony. So whom can I rely on? I can only rely on the second group. And now if they end up denying, the Taveya will lose his opportunity to win the Dintaira. However, ask the Gemara, Al Rishonah Mai, why is the first group held responsible? Even if they're lying, doesn't make a difference. The second group is still here, so the Toveya is not going to lose any money. Hakai Mishniyah, answers the Gemara. Amrav, you know, Hakai Mishkinen. The Mishnah is referring to about the following situation. Kigon Shaisa Shniya B'Shas Kfir Rishoyna Krovim B'Nishasayim. The second group at this point are, according to Rashi, I'll explain this more in a moment, related to each other. So they aren't a valid pair of Edom. So who are the only Edom that we could rely on? The first pair. However, so of course, so what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? If I only could rely on the first pair and they lie, it's Shavuos HaEdus. No. It's talking about a situation that they're currently, this very moment, not able to say Edus, but it's not going to be long term. Because Nishasayim Gaisa says, they're related to each other, they're brother-in-laws, and their wives are in the final stages of life. And Ma'adatayim arrived Gesas and Lameisa, so they should be considered Kasher Edim, because in a few minutes they're going to be no longer a problem. Kamash Malan, as long as someone is alive, is alive. In fact, Taisa says that our Gemara is not changing the klal of Roiv Gesas and Lameisa. That rule remains. What all our Gemara is saying is that as long as you're alive, you're alive. So to understand this Gemara, there are two very different approaches between Rashi and Tosfos how to understand the Gemara. Rashi explains that the Gemara is referring that the two Edom are brother-in-laws. And since they're brother-in-laws, they could say, since they're brother-in-laws, they can't say Eidus together, but they're not going to be brother-in-laws shortly because their wives are Geisesin. What is the problem with Rashi's Pshat? There are two problems with Rashi's Pshat. The problem Tosfos Rashi, with Tosfos raises, so you don't have to have the both of the wives are Geisesin. As long as one of the wives are Geisesin, and that wife will pass away, they're no longer brother-in-laws. Why does the Mishnah have to, why does the Gemara have to say that they're both Geisesin? That's Tosfos' problem. The Rishonim defend Rashi by saying it didn't have to say so, it just says so. And another problem with Rashi's Pshat is if the problem here is that they're both brother-in-laws, so yes, they can't say Eidus together, but they could say Eidus with the other people. So why are the other people the only people we could rely on? We have the first pair, and now we have the two brother-in-laws. So let at least one brother-in-law be a kosher aid, because he could combine. He's not a brother-in-law with the first people. So to that question, the Rishonim, the Chassam Sofer responds as follows. Eidim could combine. That means, let's say four of us see an event together. All of us see the exact same event. Any combination of the two of us could say Eidus together. But you know, to say that Reuven owes Shimon money, there could be two types of testimony. One testimony is that you saw Reuven borrow money from Shimon. Another type of testimony is not that you actually saw Reuven borrow money from Shimon. You heard Reuven admit that he owes Shimon money. It's also valid Eidus. But those two Eidim can't combine because they're saying different things. One is saying I saw a loan, and one says I know about a loan. And that's the case here. One pair saw the loan, the other pair heard about the loan, so nobody from these pairs could ever combine. That's Rashi with the questions and answers of Rashi's Pshat. Tosfos has a different Pshat. Tosfos has a Pshat that the second pair are currently related either to Tovei or the Nitva. And therefore, they're possible. But as the Gemara said, it's something that's temporary, unfortunately, because the wives are Geisesin. Now we can understand why the Gemara says that they're both Geisesin, because each one of them has to be related to the Tovei and the Nitva. But what is the problem with Tosfos Pshat? The problem with Tosfos Pshat is, once you're a disqualified aid, even if the wife will die, they remain disqualified. So Tosfos, to defend himself, says that the case of the Gemara is as follows. When they first saw the event, they weren't related to the Tovei or the Nitva. Then they became related to the Tovei or the Nitva, so they're disqualified, and not about to lose that relation because their wives will pass away. What about according to Rashi? So I saw both Rabbi Akiva Eiger and Rabbi Issa Zalman say very big chiddush. They say there's a very big difference when Eidim are disqualified because they're related to the Tovei or the Nitva, versus when they're related to each other. Meaning as follows. If an aid is related to the Tovei or the Nitva, even when we need him to say testimony, he's no longer related, it won't help us. Once they're disqualified, b'shas, the actual event occurred, they can never become kosher. They can be kosher and then posel and then kosher. But if they're posel at the beginning, they can never become kosher. But let's say you have two individuals who are related to each other. And when they saw the event, they were related to each other. That doesn't permanently disqualify them. And therefore, if we later need them to say testimony, they will be kosher eidim. Very bechiddush, because they're not inherently possible. Nothing wrong with them in this event. They have nothing to do with the mitzvah. They can't be together. And therefore, with them, when they're saying testimony, they're not related, it's fine. Al Gemara says, the roiv geisesin lemisa. And as I said, Tosfos says that fact remains. There's a very famous story, very interesting story. When the Rav of Prague, prior to the Night of Yehuda, was very, very ill. He was a geisus. So the leaders of the community approached him. And they asked him, who should be your successor? So he said, maybe Remeir. And then he passed away. And no one knew what he meant. So they made the following decision. Whoever will be able to figure out what he meant will get the job. So they went to the night. So they started going around. At that time, the Night of Yehuda was the Rav of a city in Poland called Yampli. And they came to the Night of Yehuda and he said, I'll tell you Pshat. Remeir throughout Shas, we know, is Chai Shlemiuta. even something unlikely to happen, he's chayshed for it. So he said, that's what happened. They came to the Rav, who was a geisus, and they said, who's going to be his successor? He says, who says I'm going to die? Ramei is chayish shlomiyuta. So we don't have the Rav geisus in Lamisa. So why are you so quick to be sure that I'm dying? He got the job. Says the Mishnah. Mashvi ani aleichem. Says the Mishnah, Mashvi ani aleichem lo tova betu di ini. If you won't come say edus, sheish li biyad ploini, pekodin b'chumas yad. Pekodin means that they left a deposit by someone else. B'chumas yad means a halvo. The difference between a pekodin and chumas yad is that when I leave an item by someone to watch, he may not have personal use from it. When I lend money to someone, he could use it. The gezel v'aveda, that's what the person approached us to say, and they respond, shvush in on the yodim l'cha edis. They just make a blanket statement, we don't know edis for you, ein chayavim ala achas. Then there will only be chayav for one shvush edis, because they made one blanket statement. However, if they said, shvush in on the yodim shesh l'cha b'yad ploini, p'kodim v'chumas yad, v'gezel v'aveda, that they enumerate each type of issue separately, then the halach is chayav and kolach fach v'chayav v'shvus edus for everyone. Mechlokis v'shainim, what happened in this second case? Was it that the Toveya mentioned each issue separately, each issue separately, and they responded on each issue separately? But if we don't have the Toveya mentioning everything separately, even though they mentioned everything separately, they won't be chayav separate shvus. Or is it it's sufficient that they mention each issue separately, even though the Toveya did not mention each issue separately? Furthermore, the Ktsais asks Akasha. They're obviously lying. That's the whole case, Shavuos Eidus. So as soon as they said something not true about the Pekodin, they're established liars, and their Shavuos become meaningless. So why are they chayiv for the success of Shavuos? Ktsais is Kasha. Answers the Ktsais, a concept that we've been discussing extensively in the Shiurim. Since there's a halach of Taik Kedai Dibra Kedai Badami, so they always have a right to back out of the previous statement. You can't be called a Huchse Kafron until you can't back out. Since they could still back out, they're not called Huchse Kafronim. Continues the Mishnah. Mashbi ani aleichem lo tavov to idu, sheish li biyat b'kodim. He approaches the Edom and he demands of them to say testimony that that person is holding chitim v'sarim v'kusman, and they only respond with a blanket statement, shvush en adim yod l'cha edis, da'alokas en chayovin alachas. However, if they respond by enumerating each item separately, shvush en adim yod l'cha edis shesh l'cha b'yad t'loini chitim v'sarim v'kusman, since they mention every issue separately, each issue separately, chayovin alachas v'achas. Continues the Mishnah. Mashbi ani aleichem lo tova v'tu udini, sheish li biyat ploini nezek, that that person owes me nezek for damages, or chatzi nezek. We'll speak in the Gemara soon more what is nezek and what is chatzi nezek. Tashlumi kefil, we know if somebody steals from someone else, he has to pay kefil. Tashlumi abba v'chamisha, if someone steals a shor or a seh, an axe or a sheep from someone else and slaughters it, at times you have to pay four times the value, five times the value. Sh'onus is plenty is biti, or that person violated my daughter, or pita is biti, or seduced my daughter, where the Torah requires that they have to pay a knas of chamishim kesef. V'shihika b'ni, v'shikani b'ni, that my son hit me, but he hit me without causing any chavala, without any causing any wound. Because the halacha is, as we've learned, that if a son rachmano etzlan hits a father with a chavala, there's a chiv misa. And once there's a chiv misa's bezdin, there's no monetary payments because of kim lebed rabim nei. Or, shechol bi chaveri, and therefore he owes me for the damages that he put on me. Or shehidlik eskadishi bi yom kippurim, as we're going to learn in the Gemara. That if somebody puts on a fire in Yom Kippur, he's been mechal Yom Kippur. But for being mechal Yom Kippur, there's a chiv karis, not a chiv misa's bezdin, b'mezid. And our Mishnah is following the opinion not of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, that even though we say Kimle with Rabbi Menei, we only say Kimle with Rabbi Menei by Mises Bezdin, not by Mises B'dei Shemayim. Chorus is not Mises Bezdin. And therefore, even though he's going to get karas for being Mechal Yom Kippur, there's still a financial obligation for destroying his wheat. So in all these cases that the Mishnah just enumerated, and as I said, we're going to discuss them more extensively in a moment in the Gemara, since there's a financial issue on the table, once there's a financial issue on the table, so the din of Shavuos Eidos kicks in, and Harei Elu Chayavim. As I said earlier in the shir, the halacha is that for the rule of Shavuos Eidos to apply, it has to be a situation of mammon. It has to be a financial situation here on the table. Now, we know, and we're going to give certain examples soon in our shir, that there are times that the Torah requires a knas, a financial fine, be paid. Now, knas certainly is similar to mammon. It's money. You're going to have to pay a financial punishment. However, it's not really money. Why? Because there's a halacha. The halacha is the moed of knas is potter. That means like this. If you owe me money, the fact that you're an honest individual and you admit that you owe me money, it won't absolve you from paying the money. But if you owe me a knas, and you come, and you, before Beis Din Paskins, we maybe sometimes you go to a different Beis Din, and you moide that you owe me the knas, you'll be potter. So the Gemara's question that we're about to begin is a very obvious question. How does the halacha look at knas? Does knas look viewed as mammon, where, as we've been learning, the din of Shavuos Eidos is to apply? Or since you could get away with not necessarily paying this mammon, why? Because Maida B'Knas is potter, it should not be viewed as mammon. And as the Chasam Sofer points out, we have to explain, because even if you're Maida B'Knas, that'll only help you on the extra, it won't help you on the Karen. We have to explain that there are other Eidim for the Karen. We don't need these Eidim for the Karen. And that's the Gemara's question. Ibailu must be Eid B'Knas, Mahu. Says the Gemara, Aliyah der Elizabeth Shimon, Loi Tibalach. According to Elizabeth Shimon, there is no question. There's a very big machloikis we learned from Masechta Baba Kama. Everybody agrees to this concept of Maida B'Knas as Potter. The question is how far-reaching it is. The Rabbanan hold Maida B'Knas as Potter. And therefore, as long as the person who would have to pay the Knas admits that he's Chayiv the Knas, he's Potter. However, Elizabeth Shimon's opinion is that even if you were Maida B'Knas, but then afterwards, Edom come and say that you will be chayiv the knas. So I no longer need your hayda. I have the Edom. So the halach is that you're going to have to pay the knas. So says the Gemara. According to Elazar of Shimon, just because it's a knas and just because it's a din of Maida B'Knas as potter, that doesn't make it that you won't have to pay. Because Edom may show up and then you'll still have to pay it. Kita by Allah Chalibi the Rabbanim. The question that the Gemara is posing is according to Rabbanim. Dama Maida B'Knas. The ones who were Maida B'Knas, even if Achakach Bo Edim is Potter. Now goes the Gemara further in drilling down. Rabbanan the Hasan commands Svirle. Ilam Krelaz B'Shimon the Hacha Hakam Adava Garm Lamamin Kigam Dami. Yesterday, Shia, we spoke at length that as long as the Edim's denial can bring to a Chiv Mamin, like we explained yesterday, the Neir Echad, that even though he's only Mechayiv Shvuah, but since it's likely that the person won't make the shvuah, and therefore he's going to lose out because the aid lied, so then too, knas cannot be any worse than a dava garim lamamin. The question is, ella rabbanan dahacha, according to rabbanan who we learned yesterday, hold the dava garim lamamin laft mamin dami. Now the question is, mai, what will be the status of knas? Do we say kiven de ilumay de mifter? Since there's always a way that you may not be paying the knas, because if you'll be moida, you won't have to pay it. Therefore, we can't consider knas mammon. Lama monika kafale. I don't know, perhaps. Right now, he was a moida. And if the Eidim will come, they'll be chayiv to pay the knas. It should be considered mammon. Toshma. So the Gemara attempts to bring a raya from our Mishnah. It said in our Mishnah, Mashbi ani aleichem, im lai tavu v'to edini, shesh li biad ploini nazik, V'chatzi nezek. We all remember Masechta Baba Kama, the beginning of Masechta. So Mara discusses there, we all know the Torah says that if a tam, an animal who isn't a habitual nachin, does damage, he only pays chatzi nezek. And the Gemara quoted a machloik is how to look at the chatzi nezek. One mandam is the chatzi nezek is memoinahu. which means as follows. Really, an animal that does damage, you're responsible for your animal. And therefore, you should have to pay total damages. The Torah gives you a discount because the animal's only a tam. The other man damals chatzineska knosa. That means that the animal's given that it doesn't have a record of doing damage, so you don't have to really do any extra shmira. So you shouldn't have to be held responsible at all if your animal did the damage. But in order to serve as a deterrent, it's a knas. So says the Gemara. Our Mishnah that use chatzi nezek as a case where shvus eidus applies, isn't it a raya that shvus eidus applies by knas? Toshma mashbi ani aleichem. Im lo tavu v'tudu uni. Shiesh l'biyat pleni nezek v'chatzi nezek. And yet, isn't chatzi nezek a knas? And yet we see shvus eidus applies? No. Our Mishnah is following the opinion palganiskas memoina. Ask the Gemara, as I just quoted, it's a very big machlokes in Masechta Baba Kama. What is chatzi nezek? So yes, says the Gemishna. Hanich l'mandama palganiskas memoina. We have no raya for our Mishnah about knas. El mandama that there's a full-fledged opinion in Masechta Baba Kama. The chatzi nezek is knasa. So isn't our Mishnah raya that shvus eidus applies by knas? Mayikul meimer. Answers the Gemara. It's referring to chatzi nezek tzroiros. The Gemara says in Masechta Baba Kama that if an animal as it's walking has pebbles fly and those pebbles shoot off and do damage, everybody agrees that there's a chiv of chatzi nezek, and everybody is agreeable that there's a hechsa gemira or there's a loch l'mosh mesinai that it's mamon. So the chatzi nezek of our Mishnah is the chatzi nezek of tzroiros, which is mamon, nothing to do with knas, and we have no raya what would be the halacha of knas. Continues the Gemara. Tashma, we learned in our Mishnah that Shvus Eidus applies, but Teshlumi Kefil. Now Kefil, by definition, is a Knas. Because whenever you're paying more than what your damage was, it's a Knas. Says the Gemara, when the Mishnah spoke about the Kefil, it spoke about the Karen part. The Karen, the principal part, is not a Knas. Again, attempts the Gemara, our Mishnah spoke about Dal of a Hay. So isn't that a Knas? Again, answers the Gemara. Mishim Karna. Continues the Gemara, but our Mishnah also spoke about Onus Ishplani, Upitas Biti. Isn't that a case of Knas? Because, as I said, you have to pay Chamishim Kesef as a Knas. Answers the Gemara. Another element of what has to be paid in a situation of a rape or a seduction is Boishis Pgam. And that is Mammon. What Pgam is, Posh Pshat, is either the Ksuba of a woman who's not a psula, is a smaller ksuba, or that she's no longer a psula, so she's not as valuable. Ask the Gemara if we've successfully accomplished that the Mishnah is not talking about Knas. But now ask the Gemara, if our Mishnah is not speaking about Knas, so what does the Mishnah come to teach us? My Kamashmalon, we've explained all the cases of the Mishnah on Memainahu, so what is the Chiddush of the Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Reisha Chodok Kamashmalon, there's a Chiddush in the Reisha that we're learning, and there's a Sefer Chodok Kamashmalon, there's a Chiddush in the Sefer. Reisha Chodok Kamashmalon, the Chiddush that we have in the Reisha, is that as we just explained a moment ago, is that Chatzi Nezek Tzroiros is not to be considered a Knas, but it's to be considered a Mamoinahu. The Chiddush of the Sefer Kamashmalon, that, and I explained this when we learned the Mishnah, so I'll say it a little quicker now, that's referring to the situation, Shehidlik is Kaddishi B'Yom Kippurim, that we don't apply the concept of Kimlai bin Rabbi Mnei, the Fukim bin Chunyan and Kana, which is against what Ibn Chunyan and Kana holds, the Tanya bin Chunyan and Kana, Yom Kippurim ki Shabbos. He said, just like if somebody's Mechal Shabbos, let's say somebody makes a fire on Shabbos, and he does damage, everybody's in agreement that there won't be a Chiv Momin, because there's a Chiv Mises Bezdin, we say Kimlai bin Rabbi Mnei, Yom Kippurim ki Shabbos with Tashlumim. Ma Shabbos, because there's a Chiv Mises Bezdin, we say Kimlai bin Rabbi Mnei, so too, he holds Yom Kippur. Our Mishnah doesn't hold that way, because it's only chorus, and that's what our Mishnah is teaching us. So we still have a question. What is Knas? How do we look at Knas? Do we look at Knas like Mammon, and apply the rules of Shavuos Eidus? Or do we not look at it like Mammon, and not apply the rules of Shavuos Eidus? Toshma. Ma'rishbi ani aleichem, im loitove v'tu di'uni, shahoyti ish ploini shem ra'al biti. The Braisa says, we know that if somebody comes and says that he married a woman who he assumed was a psula, and the woman is really, and he says, with a lie that she's a bu'ula, chayovim. Then the halacha is that he's chayiv to pay 100 kesef punishment. However, if he admits, then he's potter. Now here we see that we're referring to a situation of knas. And yet the Mishnah is teaching us that the din of shvuas eidus applies, answers the Gemara, going back to the beginning of this piece of Gemara, Hamani, whose opinion does this reflect? Rav Shimon, we said at the beginning of this stickle Gemara, certainly will hold that knas is to be considered like mammon. Why is knas to be considered like mammon? Because he holds that mode of knas proper is not a hard and fast rule. Why is it not a hard and fast rule? Because even if you mode of knas, if Adam come later and say that what you did, so I don't need your haidah, you'll be chayiv. So that's who is the tan of that brisa. Says the Gemara, you want to say that's the tan of that brisa? Let's continue learning that brisa. Eim sefer hold me atzmoi potter. The brisa clearly teaches us that if you're a moedah b'knas, you're going to be potter. That's not true, according to Elazar Reb Shimon. As I just said a moment ago, according to Elazar Reb Shimon, just because you're moedah doesn't mean you'll be potter. It will require that you should be moedah, and Adam should come afterwards, and if Adam come afterwards, your haidah won't help. Isn't that Rabbanan's opinion? So how can we say that that brisa is following the opinion of Elazar Reb Shimon? Says, well, it's not a problem. Cool, Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon. That entire brisa follows the opinion of Elazar Reb Shimon. Vachakamer, and this is the way to understand the brisa. Lemishkachs lahoydim pi atzma potter. There is no case that a moedim b'knas will be potter. Ela hechad alekem edim klal. By the matzvah, Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon will agree that let's say you are moedim b'knas, and we're certain that there are no edim, the potter. That's what the sefer is teaching us, and therefore the entire brisa reflects the opinion of Elazar Reb Shimon. Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, we've never had a question that he holds the moedim b'knas, that knas is considered a situation of shuas eidus, because he says that knas, it doesn't necessarily put you off the hook. What the Rabbanan will hold, we still don't know, and the Gemara doesn't answer the question. Continues the Mishnah. Mashbi ani aleichem loytova v'tudiuni she'ani koyin. I want you to say eidus on my behalf that I'm a koyin. She'ani levi. She'ani ben grusha, she'ani ben chalutza, that I'm not a disqualified koyin. She'ish plani koyin, that this other person is a Kohen, she'ish plani levi, or that other person is a levi, or that other person is not a ben grusha ben chalutza, she'onis plani ish plani is pitoi. And the way most Rishonim explain why won't there be a chiyuv of shvuas to eidus in this case, because given that the person violated his own daughter, chman al-aslan, if somebody violates his own daughter, so then there's a chiyuv misas bezdin. And as I explained extensively in the Amud Aleph, once there's a chiyuv misas bezdin, there's no chiyuv mammon. Once there's no chiyuv mammon, there's no chiyuv shvuas eidus, or the pitos pita will be the same, or shechava b'bini, then my son, Rachman son, did a chabur in me. If my son does a chabur in me, so there's a chiyuv misas bezdin. So again, since there's a chiyuv misas bezdin, again there's no chiyuv mammon because of kimah b'drahmani. Or shechal b'chaveri, and again, the way it's supposed to be is b'shabbos. So since he did the chaval on Shabbos, there's a misas bezdin, so there's no chiyuv mammon. Or shevel kedisha b'shabbos, again, the chiyuv misas bezdin, no chiyuv mammon. So given that in all these situations there isn't a financial issue on the table, halacha is already p'tum. Even though I have to say that there are rishonim that say that not in all situations, especially back to the ratio of the Mishnah, is it always going to be that there aren't financial repercussions? Because let's say you have a person that was saying testimony that he's a Kohen. And this person, who they could say testimony is a Kohen, always gave his Trumas and Maestros away because he thought he wasn't a Kohen. But he says, if I would have known I'm a Kohen, I wouldn't have given it to somebody else. I would have kept it for myself. So therefore, there could be cases that do involve financial situations, but Pashup Shad has nothing to do with financial issues. Says the Gemara, Tama, Dish Plani Kayin, Dish Plani Levi. The reason there is no Shvus Eidus in our Mishnah is because it has nothing to do with money. Kayin Levi. Hamani, so what is the Deek of our Mishnah? Hamani Le Plani B'yat Plani, Chayavim. If I would walk into Bezdin and I would say testimony that you know that Reuven owes Shimon money, and then they lied, Shuas Eidus would apply. But haven't we learned, I mentioned this earlier in this year, Haktani Sefer, Achi Yishma Piratavea. If I come over to Edom and say to Edom, you know Eidus, that Reuven owes Shimon money, we learned earlier in our shir, and they lie, and falsely claim that they don't know Eidus, it wouldn't be a case of Shuas Eidus, because only the Taveya himself can make that claim. I'm not the Taveya, I'm saying that they owe you, that they that the Edom know that Reuven owes Shimon money, not me. So why would the halachas of Shuas Eidus apply? Answers the Gemara. Even though I'm not the person that's owed the money, I was given a power of attorney. Hashar means a power of attorney. I was given a power of attorney by the Malva, and therefore, even though I'm not the actual Malva, the fact that I was given this power of attorney, that gives me this power. And as the Rishonim explained, there's a long Taisus, I just say one vart. Taisus says that even though we're going to learn that a shliach wouldn't help. That means, if the Malva sent, if the Toveya, using the Gemara's words, if the Toveya sent a shliach to the Edom to say that they owe money, that wouldn't work. It has to be the person himself. A power of attorney, I'll say to Rishonim, is stronger than a shliach. And even though a shliach can't do it, a shliach can't be considered like a Toveya regarding halachas of Shavuos Eidus, a Bob Ashar can. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, Va'amri Nadoi, doesn't the Gemara Masechta Baba Kama teach us the Loikas Svina Urchas Amatatli? We don't give power of attorneys on Amatatlin. So how could that be Peshat in the Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, where don't we give power of attorneys? Hani Mile Hecha the Kafre, in a situation where the Loiva is denying owing the money. In such a situation, we don't give power of attorney. Avaloi Kafre, we can give a power of attorney, and that is the case of our Mishnah. What happens now, just to put the shir into framework, is as follows. We're going to begin learning a lengthy brisa. Four opinions. All coming to make the same point, just different ways of getting there, that the halacha that we've been learning all day today, that there is no din of Shavuos HaEdus only by Mammon. And now there's a lengthy brisa that's going to give four different ways, four different opinions, how we know that halacha. And then, that'll be today's shir, Mitzvah Shem. And tomorrow's shir, we're going to analyze, the Gemara will analyze, and we'll try to explain each one of these opinions. So begins the brisa. Tana Baran. How do we know that Shavuos HaEdus only applies by Tfiyas Mammon? Rabbi Elazar Omer, Nemakan Oyin. The Torah keeps on using the word Oy regarding Shavuos HaEdus, Oyro, Oyoda. And the Torah keeps on using the word V'nemela Halon Oyin. The Torah regarding Shavuos Bikodin also uses Oy B'Tshumas Yad, Oy B'Gezel, Oy Oshak. Ma Lahalon Ein B'Dab El B'Tfiyas Mammon. A Bikodin by definition is Mammon. Afkan Ein B'Dab El B'Tfiyas Mammon. And the Malbim goes on to explain that the word Oy used so many times in one parasha is highly irregular, and that's why it's a legitimate way of making this Gzeirah Shavah. Ask the Gemara, Oyin the Ritzeach Yechichu. The Torah also uses the word Oyin by the parasha of Ritzeach. The Torah says, Oy be'eva hiko, or hishlach ala b'tzdiyah, and there has nothing to do with Mammon. Oyin the Ritzeach Yechichu. Shein Oyin. The Torah keeps on using the word Oy, medam shalab b'tfiyas Mammon. Answers the Gemara, it makes more sense. Donan, Oyin, Shieshi Man Shvua. It makes more sense to learn Shvuas HaEdus from Shvuas Bikodin, where they're both speaking about Shvuas. Mi Oyin, Shieshi Man Shvua. Vayachich Oyin, the Ritzeach, Sheini Man Shvua. Ask the Meiri, why does everyone have to say this Teretz? We've learned so many times that Ein Adam Don, Gzer Shava Ma'atzmai. You can't make up your own Gzer Shava. Unless you learned it from your Rebbe. So the question is very obvious. How can you make up, what's the Gemara questioning? This should be the Gzeirah Shavah, that should be the Gzeirah Shavah. The Gzeirah Shavah is what you have as a Messiah. Answers the Meiri, that we only say that the way it worked with Gzeirah Shavah is that they had a Gzeirah Shavah, that there's a Gzeirah Shavah Oy Oy. They didn't know which Oy to connect. That is now what was being analyzed. So the Gemara says the comparison to Shavuos because of Shavuos Eidus is a much better comparison. Ask the Gemara, are in the Saita Yechiyuch? The Torah says we got by the parish of Saita, I avol of Ruach Kina, Ayish Shetavolov. So the Torah keeps on using the word Ayin. Sheyet Hein Ayin. The Torah speaks about, the Torah uses the words Ay. Furthermore, V'yeshimon Shvur, there is a Shvur involved. We know that the Saita is made to swear that she's innocent, and it has nothing to do with Mammon. Madam Shlobit Fias Mammon. Ask Tosfos, why isn't Mammon? The Saita's Ksuba is on the table. So Tosfos answers, the main issue with the Saita is not the Ksuba. When a husband wants to know if his wife is innocent and they can remain married, the Ksuba is not the main focus. Answers the Gemara. Donin, Oyin Shiesh Man Shvua, Veinim Man Koin. There's no obligation to have a coin by Shvus Eidis or by Shvus Bekodin. Ma Oyin Shiesh Man Shvua, Veinim Man Koin. Vayachichu Oyin the Ritzeach, Shainim Man Shvua. By Ritzeach, there's no Shvua. Vayachichu Oyin the Saita, Shapi Shiesh Man Shvua. Indeed, there is a Chiv Shvua, but there's a Chiv Koin, which has nothing to do with it by Shvus Eidis or Shvus Bekodin. So to summarize, Rabbi Lezer's opinion is we have a Gzera Shava Oy, and the most sensible Gzera Shava is to make a Gzera Shava between Shavuos Eidus and Shavuos Bekodin, and therefore just like Bekodin this moment, so to be Eidus. Now we have Rabbi Kiva's opinion. The Pasuk says, Rabbi Kiva Omer, in the parasha of Shavuos Eidus, V'hoi kiyashem la'achas me'ela, yesh me'ela shu'chayiv, at certain times there will be din of Shavuos Eidus, v'yesh me'ela shu'pater, at certain times there won't be chiyiv Shavuos Eidus. Ha'ketzad, tava momen. If it's mammon, chayiv, there will be shvus eidus. If it's not mammon, potter. Rav Yosef Gliloimer, that's the second way of learning it. Third way, Rav Yosef Gliloimer, Hareu Oimer, the pasuk says in the parish of shvus eidus, v'ed oira oyada. Says Rav Yosef, what is the pasuk teaching us? And again, the Gemara is going to explore this more in tomorrow's shir. The eidus hamiskayemes b'riya b'lo yidia, where you could have eidus by just the Adam seeing but not really knowing, or the idea below Riya, Hakos Medaber. Now, what is an example of Riya below idea? Ketzat, where somebody says, Mona Menisaloch, I lent you money, Bifnei Plani Plani, in front of these Adam, Yova Plani Plani, let them appear, Viyidu. Zuriya, where the Adam saw me lending money, but there was no idea. Yidia below Riya is Ketzat, where money Hadisaloch Bifnei Plani Plani, Reuven admitted that he owes Shimon whatever he owes him in front of the Edom. So the Edom know about it, but they didn't see the actual Hava. You have a plenty of plenty of Yidu. Zui read the Beloiria. So what's Rabbi Yossi saying? Rabbi Yossi clearly is saying is as follows. The Torah is teaching us that Shavuos HaEidus is applicable in a case where you could have Riya Beloyidia and Yidia Beloiria. And the only place that you could find Riya Beloyidia and Yediyah Belayriya is by Mom. The fourth and final opinion. The Torah says there's a din of Shavuos Eidus and there's a din of Shavuos Bekodin. Ma'am Halam by Shavuos Bekodin, Eina Medaber El Betfias Momin. Afkam by Shavuos Eidus, Eina Medaber El Betfias Momin. V'oid. Furthermore, Kavachoymer. Ma'am Bekodin. Again, I'm going to explain this all tomorrow, I hope. Be'ezer Hashem, Mitzvah Hashem. Shas ba Noshim ka Noshim. Krovim Kerchokim. Psurim kum ksherim, v'chayiv kol achs v'achs b'fnei bezdin, v'shloim b'fnei bezdin. These are all rules of Shavuos Bekodin. And by Shavuos Bekodin, as we learned earlier, ainu medaber el betfias mammon, eidus. So eidus that don't have all of these chumras. Shloyos b'anoshim kanoshim. I said the Mishnah said, Shavuos eidus is only by men, because only men are kosher eidim. Krovim kerchokim, psurim kiksherim, v'ainu chayiv el achs b'fnei bezdin. We learned in the previous year that if you made a number of shuls in front of Bezdin, since there's alocha, or kim shigit shuvay nechazim magid, you only chayv only one shul, ain't a din, shalay yehei, bedabe el betfias mammon. Ask the Gemara, but mal b'kodin, b'kodin have all these other consequences. Shekain lo yosba mujbek nishba, mezik kishoygig, time of aedah shekain osba mujbek nishba, or mezik kishoygig. So how could you necessarily compare, ask Shrub Shimon on himself, Shavuos Eidus to Shavuos Bekodin, Tamaloimer. So that's why he says we have to resort to Gzeres Shava. Techta Techta, Gzeres Shava. Nema Kan Techta. The Torah uses the words Techta by Shavuos Eidus. Menema Lahalan. The Torah uses Techta by Shavuos Bekodin. Malahalan Enim Adab Al Betfias Mammon. Afkan and Medabal Tfilas Mammon, and therefore just like Shvus Abkan is only by Mammon, so too by Shvus Aedis, and that's how he knows that Shvus Aedis is only by Mammon. So we just finished learning four different opinion of Tanoam, how we know that Shvus Aedis is only by Mammon. As I said, now the Gemara is going to begin to analyze each one of these opinions.